Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec, and welcome from the voice of the spirits. We are here once again to take you on another small journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today we will complete question 1009 with the author's remarks. Enjoy. Question 1009. Accordingly, the punishments imposed are never eternal. Author's remarks for question 1009. Humans are stimulated to morality and turned from evil by the lure of reward and the fear of punishment. But if such punishment is represented in a way that defies reason, it will yield no influence. Rather, it will be rejected in its totality, form, and foundation. However, if the future is presented under a logical form, it will not be rejected. Spiritism provides such an explanation. The doctrine of eternal punishment, in its absolute sense, makes the Supreme Being an implacable God. Would it be logical to say that a king is very good, very benevolent, and very indulgent, that he only wants the happiness of all around him, but that he is, at the same time, jealous, vindictive, inflexibly severe, and that he punishes three-quarters of his subjects with a maximum penalty for any offense or infraction of his laws, even when they have broken them without having been aware of them? Wouldn't that be a contradiction? How could God be less than what a human would be? Another contradiction is presented in this case. Since God knows everything, then God knew while creating his soul that it would fail, that from its formation it was destined to eternal unhappiness. Is this possible? Is it rational? With the doctrine of relative punishment, everything is set aright. God undoubtedly knew that the soul would fail, but gave it the means of enlightening itself through its own experience and through its own errors. It would have to expiate such errors in order to establish itself in the good, but the door of hope would never be closed against it. God made the moment of its liberation dependent on the efforts it makes to attain it. This is something that all can understand and the most meticulous logic can accept. If future punishment had been presented in this way, there would be a lot of fewer skeptics. The word eternal is almost always employed figuratively in common language to designate something of a long period of duration, of which the end is not foreseen, although it is very well known that there will, in fact, be an end. We speak of the eternal snows of the high mountains and the poles, for instance, although we know, on one hand, that the physical world could come to an end, and, on the other hand, that the state of these regions could be modified by a shift in the Earth's axis or some other cataclysm. The word eternal, in this case, does not mean infinite duration. When we suffer some long-term illness, we say that it is eternal. So why wonder when spirits who have suffered for many years, centuries, and even thousands of years speak of it as being eternal? Above all, we must not forget that their imperfection does not allow them to see the end of their afflictions. They believe they will suffer forever, which is in itself a punishment for them. Furthermore, the doctrine of physical fire, of furnaces and tortures, borrowed from the Tartarus of paganism, has been completely abandoned nowadays by liberal theology. Footnote to Tartarus. Tartarus was a section of Hades, the underground abode of the dead in Greek mythology, which was reserved for punishing the worst offenders. Only in certain schools are such terrifying allegorical images still presented as literal truths by some individuals who are more fanatical than enlightened. This is all very wrong, because young imaginations, once past the terror, will most likely become skeptical. Today, theology recognizes that the word fire is employed figuratively and should be understood as mental suffering. Refer to question number 974. Those who, like us, have followed the incidents of the life and suffering beyond the grave through spiritist communications have been convinced that, though not physical, they are no less poignant. Even regarding their duration, some theologians are beginning to accept the restrictive meaning indicated above, and in fact, they think that the word eternal could refer to the penalties per se, as a consequence of an immutable law, and not to its application to each individual. On the day when religion accepts such an interpretation, as well as others that are also the consequence of the progress of enlightenment, it will bring back many lost sheep into its fold.